Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, hey! Hope you enjoyed the weekend. Man, there was a lot of football. It's something we get to say every weekend from now until February. Okay, January, when the regular season runs through and gets pretty dramatic. There's a lot to talk about. And so I get really challenged by the goal of having to get to every game, which is a stated goal. It's my stated goal. Wanting to touch on every game and give you as much of the flavor of this weekend in the NFL as I possibly can. But there's so much that happened even before the games kicked off that we may spend the next couple shows actually catching up. We will have our Monday MVP available for you on our show, Twix at Amy After Hours. Still considering the options, if you will, but I do believe Baker Mayfield will end up in our first Monday MVP poll. So follow us there or at ALOL Radio, also on our Facebook page. Put a post there so you can hang out and have a strongly worded conversation. I'm going to talk about booing and when it's too early to boo your team. It's week one, for heaven's sakes. I think you've got the two extremes. People talking about how they're favorite teams are going to win the Super Bowl after 1 week, wanting to bench the quarterback after 1 week, wanting to fire a coach after 1 week. So tap the brakes on the overreaction. But at the same time, the booing so loud in a bunch of different stadiums on week number one. That to me seems premature. So we can talk about it. But I know there were a handful of veterans who were none too thrilled about what they were hearing from the fans on opening weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. We also want to get to the debuts of the rookie quarterbacks. Three of them. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix. Mixed bag, I would say. Not all bad, but rookies giveth and they taketh away. Marvin Harrison, another rookie, thought he would be featured more by the Cardinals, but just the one catch for, I think it was 4 yards, was one of the top players to come out of this most recent draft and certainly one of the top receivers, but not a lot of activity in Buffalo on Sunday. And speaking of receivers, Ja'Marr Chase does play for the Bengals, does not get a new contract. According to the reports out there, they could not come to an agreement. And what the Bengals were willing to offer and what they refused to budge from was not enough for the Chase camp. We did have a lot of receivers get paid this offseason. Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill. Tyreek, of course, in the news for a different reason, and we'll hear more from him and potentially from Calais Campbell as well. Calais did talk about why he was detained. He was also put in handcuffs, and he explained to reporters after the game why that happened. And I just want to clarify, too, when I said the officer was put on paid leave. I meant leave from working the streets. So he's been put on desk leave. So paid administrative leave, if you will. All of your reaction is welcome online or on the phones. Thanks for hanging out with us and making us your choice on a Sunday night into a Monday morning. New work week, but I feel like it's not as bad on a Monday when we have football. Over the weekend, I was in Dallas and ended up at the Star, which is the headquarter complex for the Dallas Cowboys. Never been there before. And I wasn't there to visit the Cowboys facilities. Just happened to be the place that a friend suggested that my husband and I have breakfast with them. And so we pull up. We're a little bit early. And you can't miss it. You can't miss the gigantic video board that fronts the practice facilities. There's also a turf field out in front. And there are a bunch of people working out, weights and equipment. It was busy. A lot of restaurants, a lot of shops. Oh gosh, the intersection of the two roads. One is named the Star. The other is named Winning. If you haven't seen the photos, here, I'll retweet them at A-Law Radio because I did take a few photos. There were also banners repping the top players for the Cowboys. I shared my favorite one as well as the one for Dak Prescott right after he got paid. Here, I'm sharing again on Twix at A-Law Radio. I'll see if I can put some of those up on our Facebook page as we head through the show. Also really neat to see some of the likenesses of the Cowboys Ring of Honor. And then the various Hall of Famers had their own spots on the sidewalks. So Tom Landry had a giant replica of his famous hat. Troy Aikman with a huge number 8 and a mini tribute to him. So yeah, it's really cool to be there. Jerry Jones spared no expense in creating the Star in the Cowboys headquarters. Relatively quiet on a Saturday morning, but still gaudy as all get out. I would expect nothing less. So then, on Sunday morning, we find out he also spared no expense in inking his quarterback to the richest deal in NFL history. And we have talked about this at various times throughout the last few months because it's been a recurring theme. We've had quarterbacks get paid. And the annual price tag before Dak, the market was set no higher than $55 million. I know that sounds funny to say, but $55 million per year for Joe Burrow. That goes back to last offseason. Jordan Love and Trevor Lawrence. So those three guys making $55 million per year tied for the most in average annual value until Dak. $60 million per year. $240 million, I know you can do the simple math, over four seasons. But the number that stands out, even beyond the $60 million, is the guaranteed money. Almost all of the $240 million is fully guaranteed. Not all of it, but almost all of it. And the number, there's a reason for it. Deshaun Watson got $230 million fully guaranteed from the Browns in a contract that has yet to reap the benefits. Dak Prescott gets $231 million guaranteed. It's all about setting the new market. It's all about being the highest paid for, I don't know, a couple months if you're lucky. So $240 million total, $60 million per year. So the market jumps dramatically from $55 million to $60. It doesn't go 56, 57, 58. No, it leaps $5 million per year with the Dak contract. And just as a side note, Patrick Mahomes now tied for 12th when it comes to quarterbacks and their annual earnings in the NFL. He's tied with Kirk Cousins, who made his debut with the Falcons on Sunday, and we'll get to that. So the average annual value, the annual price tag for top flight QBs is now $60 million. So Dak Prescott, we'll see how long he retains the top spot. I would think for a while since we're now in season. This contract got done 90 minutes before the first round of games kicked off. And yeah, Dak, of course, afterwards was being asked about the timing of it.
I've told you guys before, I don't necessarily play. I don't play for the money. I think when you focus and you control what you can control, things like that just happen. So, I found out probably an hour, honestly, probably 20 minutes before it was, you know what I mean, publicized to everybody else.
And what about those negotiations with Jerry Jones? Every now and then we got cryptic comments from Dak Prescott about Jerry and how he doesn't really pay attention to Jerry, though ultimately they get the deal done before the season begins.
Any negotiations? I mean, one side wants something, other side wants this, and then obviously you got to get it and you meet in the middle. And that's what we did, something that works for everybody. I'm just proud, just happy. It's done. I'm proud of my agent. Todd did a great job. Steve and them did a great job. It works for everyone.
That's a big move when you can, you know, lock up your quarterback, your future for that many years. So, but, you know, the timing was different. And I think, you know, he handled it just like you think he would.
The voice of head coach Mike McCarthy, and Dak Prescott's agent is Todd France, in case you didn't know his name, but he references Todd. Okay, let's talk about the game, shall we? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Cowboys on the road at the Browns. This was one of the games that was a candidate for After Hours Game of the Week. And early on, didn't seem like there was any extra pressure on Dak's shoulders. Under pressure, speaking of that, he had guys in his face, guys coming right at him. He is able to loft a pass over the top to one Brandon Cooks, who's waiting in the end zone.
Third and five at the 21, so they're not in the red zone
yet. Not there yet, but they're knocking on the door.
Last year, Cowboys were number one on third down offense, Browns on defense. Third down, Prescott back, looking deep to the middle. He's got a man all alone, Cook, at the goal line. It's Cooks for the Cowboys' first touchdown of the year, Brandon Cooks.
Brad Sham and Babe Laufenberg on the Cowboys radio network. That gives Dallas the early 7-3 lead. Now, middle of the second quarter, it's kind of interesting to think about the way that Dak and Ezekiel Elliott came into the league together. Remember, they were drafted in the same year. Zeke was a first rounder and Dak was a fourth rounder, I believe, in that same draft. Well, they split up for a couple of years. Zeke went elsewhere, including New England. But in the second quarter of this game in Cleveland, they're partners. They're together again. That combo powers a 78-yard drive, and Zeke has the Cowboys' first rushing touchdown of the season from 3 yards out. Now, late in that first half, this is how it was going for the Cleveland Browns. Micah Parsons leaps up into the air, tips a ball. Man, he's so incredibly athletic. Side to side, the spin move. This was, by the way, Tom Brady's game with Kevin Burkhardt on Fox. It was the Fox game of the week. We'll talk about Tom Brady coming up. But he was noting that he could hear the Cowboys. Well, he could hear the Browns offense starting to yell, spinner, 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 as a reaction to Micah Parsons standing up, which is when he likes to employ all types of spin moves. And so that was something that Tom Brady offered. He could see it and he could hear it. But yeah, when Micah Parsons is fully extended and decides to jump with the long arm of the law, he can tip a pass as well. And he does do that. It's intercepted by Eric Kendricks after it's tipped by Micah. And that leads to a Dallas field goal for a 20-3 lead. But that Dallas defense wasn't done. There was more Parsons pressure in the second half, a DeMarcus Lawrence sack, and that sack forces a punt by the Browns.
New York is standing in the middle of his own end zone. The kick actually comes from the goal line. A little end-over-end wobbler taken at the 40 by Turpin. Trying to get up the middle, 50, 45, get a block. Right sideline, 30, he's pointing. 20 and to the 15, to the 10. There's your return, Cavante Turpin with a 60-yard punt return.
Once again, Brad Sham on the Cowboys radio network. So yeah, at that point, this game is essentially in the books, though the Cowboys had to protect against any Browns comeback. But there was a cascade of booing coming from Cleveland over what the Browns fans, the dog pound, saw from the offense. Trayvon Diggs has an interception of Deshaun Watson later. Nice to see him coming back from the knee injury a year ago. And the Cowboys beat the Browns 33-17. Deshaun, he was under siege. Couple of interceptions that we talked about, but also a half dozen sacks by that Cowboys defense. And Kevin Stefanski, not thrilled with the offensive line in front of Watson.
Yeah, he got hit way too often. We can't let that happen to him. He fought like crazy. And listen, the football team fought like crazy to the end. But bottom line is we have to protect our quarterback better than that.
At the end of the day, once you're on the field, you just got to, you know, you got to perform. You got to execute. And, you know, we didn't do that overall. And, it showed.
So the Cowboys, they had to deal with the displeasure of the fans and this punch in the mouth to start the season. Dak finishes 19 of 32, is under 200 yards. He has the touchdown. I don't know. There were a lot of quarterbacks that had amazing numbers outside of Baker Mayfield. The team, though, rushed for over 100 yards. The defense was more than up for the challenge. And when you are the Cowboys head coach, your team's been dealing with contract negotiations and contract chatter for most of the offseason. Two of those deals get done. Then you've got an owner who is repeatedly saying, we are all in. Mike McCarthy put that all together for a victory in week one.
Excellent win, especially going on the road, you know, coming up here with a great football environment. You know, you felt good about your prep coming into it. I thought we started the first half. I thought we played well. You know, did little things. Second half was sloppy. Good win. You know, anytime you win by, you know, three scores, and you have a lot to correct.
But a nice way to start for the Dallas Cowboys. And I can imagine just as much the win, having the conversation about the contract, that's all in the rearview mirror as well. And at some point this week, I think it's Tuesdays, we hear from Jerry Jones on our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan. And so we will make sure that we get that audio for you because he'll be asked about the contract. When it comes to the booing, this is, to me, certainly something that fans retain as a right because you've paid a lot of money and you have ownership of your team, emotional ownership, if nothing else. You're invested. And when you get crap as a reward for your investment or what you believe is crap, well, then many of you feel as though you have the right to let the team know how you feel, especially if you don't feel great about what you're seeing. But I am of the impression that booing in week one is not only premature, but it's counterproductive. I know you all waited not so patiently for football to return, but most of these guys that you're seeing on the field in week one didn't get many reps, didn't get much game action in the preseason for obvious reasons. Teams don't want them to get hurt. Teams don't want to risk an injury in preseason. But also a lot of these guys just aren't ready to go yet. Guys are nursing injuries or they're working on rhythm with new pieces around them. How about coaches and offensive coordinators moving all around, installing new systems, new lingo, new terminology? And so no team, not even the Kansas City Chiefs, who are largely intact, though they do have a couple of new pieces, but they're pretty much a very similar team. The majority of their guys are back from a year ago, and yet still they don't look like a Super Bowl champ on opening weekend. It's been, what, 6+ months since these guys were on a field? For the ones who didn't make the playoffs, 7 months? And so I'm thinking that by having such lofty expectations about beautiful football in week one and then being disappointed when you don't have it, you're kind of setting yourself up. We know that the first month of the football season often is just about the wins. It's not about aesthetics. It's not about how good it looks. Although every now and then you'll see the flashes of brilliance. But it can be rough. What you're just trying to do is get out of there with a victory. Here's a stat that I saw from OptiStats. They're based in Chicago. New follow for me, but you know I'm a total nerd when it comes to the numbers. NFL teams averaged just 175 net passing yards and under 300 total yards per game on Sunday. Okay, so that's across the board. NFL teams under 175 passing yards and under 300 total yards. Why? There's penalties, there's turnovers, there's empty possessions, there's wasted opportunities. Yet not a whole lot of the offenses look like they were in sync on Sunday. But OptiStats goes on to say both of those numbers, the net passing yards and the net total yards, the lowest on any NFL Sunday in the regular season in the last 20 years. All right, so more than ever, you're seeing veterans opt out of the preseason, not get a lot of time. It's across the board. It's not just your team. The Browns, the Giants got booed mercilessly. We're going to talk about them coming up because Daniel Jones, it was rough. He's coming off a knee injury. He's trying to get back in form and find a rhythm again. There's new people around him. But at least one of his teammates, the veteran Dexter Lawrence, did not love hearing the boos raining down at MetLife Stadium.
I don't respect it, honestly. I get it. They want to see their team win. It's just a rough patch. It just is what it is.
I remember, a couple of years ago when you had, at the time, Washington football team members talking about how disheartening it was to feel like your team wasn't behind you, that the fans wouldn't show up for the games, or that there would be too many fans from the other team and it wouldn't feel like a home field advantage. But is this any more positive? So you cheer when they're doing well, but you boo them the second that there are a couple of tough drives? That's rough. The Bengals were getting booed as well. The Bills were getting booed early in their game with the Cardinals. So I don't know, I guess there are fans who feel like it's their right because they paid the money. But again, it feels premature and counterproductive because no team starts out the season ready to win a Super Bowl. And I get that as football fans or as sports fans, we're not so patient. But how is that helping? Isn't it making it worse? At least has the potential to. On Twix.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's A-Law Radio and then our Facebook page as well. We'll get that Monday MVP poll up for you. But Tom Brady, speaking of people expressing their displeasure and criticism, Tom Brady makes his debut in the Fox booth on this Cowboys-Browns game. I'll give you my critique of the GOAT coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We say welcome to the broadcast booth. He's Tom Brady, and I'm Kevin Burkhardt, and you're a broadcaster. How about that?
We're here. It's been quite a journey, but I love being your partner.
I'm excited as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. We should start with quarterbacks. That seems to make a lot of sense. Yeah. Cowboys making news. They come to an agreement with Dak Prescott on a big new contract, right? But with that comes pressure, not only long-term, but what kind of pressure is he facing then and today in this game?
Yeah, Dak signed the largest contract in the history of the NFL. Now he's got to go out there and earn it. And 2023 was his best season. He's coming off of that, but going forward, it's going to be what happens in the postseason.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The start of a new era in broadcasting. Many people still ticked off about the fact that Greg Olsen was bumped for Tom Brady. But just as a reminder, this was Brady's job before it was Olsen's. Tom Brady was given the job as top analyst at Fox with his, $750 million or something crazy like that. I could be exaggerating. But he was given that top job, and Fox told him, you can join us whenever you're ready. So he decided to play another season, then retire and prep for a season. Find a new rhythm, find a new flow, find life after football on the field. And he took a year to get ready. I would say, as much as he was royally criticized, I thought he was smart. I thought he was safe. I thought he relied on his partner. He didn't yell, he didn't scream, though he did exclaim a few times when Kevin was making a call. Or the Kevontae Turpin punt return for the touchdown, I heard him, oh, in the background as Kevin's making the call. But it is TV, so you don't need to worry about stepping on your partner as much, or at least your partner's calls. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Kevin Burkhardt's a pro. He has worked with some of the best. We talked to Charles Davis last week, who was previously an analyst for Burkhardt's play-by-play. And just as a side note, we will have Burkhardt on the show soon at some point. He told us he was swamped the first month, right, Pete? But he's been on the show before, and he's great. He's got a soft spot in his heart for our New York affiliate. WFAN is where he got his start. He used to listen to it all the time. And so he loves to do any type of radio because that's his background. And so we will get him on the show at some point. But he's such a pro, and he's worked with so many different people that he was able to set Tom up in a way that Tom felt more comfortable. Tom sounded nervous to me, which is crazy, right? Because he's the greatest quarterback of all time. This is just talking football. But you guys, he's not a professional talker. He does podcasting. He does a lot of different interviews now where he's getting set up by a fellow media professional. It's his first time. As someone who spent 25 years behind a radio mic, who's done TV play-by-play and TV color, and someone who's not comfortable on camera, this is a completely different challenge for Brady. It'd be like people expecting me to come right out of college, sit down behind a microphone, do a national radio show with no hiccups, with no nerves, with no issues or challenges or having to work out my style. That's ludicrous. Just because he's the best quarterback in history doesn't mean he's going to step into a broadcast booth and be John Madden, as Pete said earlier, or be Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner's gotten a lot better since he and Kevin Harlan have been working together on Westwood One. It's a different career entirely. And it's different than sitting on a bar stool and talking about football or sitting with your buddies and watching a game. He has to provide insight, analysis. He has to do it in rhythm with a partner. He has to watch his language. Can Tom Brady talk football? Yeah. Does Tom Brady know more about football than most of us could ever imagine? Yeah. Does Tom Brady have stories? Can he see formations? Can he share his experience and his insight? Absolutely. And as the game went on, he loosened up a little bit and he started to do that. He had a couple quips about Bill Belichick. Oh gosh. And he tried to dap up Mike Pereira, who didn't see him. And so Brady's on camera. Hey, don't leave me hanging. Don't leave me hanging. It's kind of funny. His humor is there. He's self-deprecating. But Kevin's doing a great job of trying to draw out the stories and the insight that only Tom Brady knows. And that's the advice that I would give Brady. Not, hey, don't be nervous. No, he's going to be nervous. And it's because he cares. If he didn't give a crap, then he would just sit down and not worry about it. Just start yapping. But he doesn't. He cares to the hilt. You can tell he's been prepping. You can tell he's been working on it. He's talked about that publicly, where he's taken some time to to work with different broadcasters, to get advice from people. The best broadcasters make it sound like they didn't do any prep, but that's obviously not the case. His style, his manner, his comfortability, all of those things will come to him as he works. But this is his first game that counted. I know he did some preseason stuff, but not quite the same energy. And he's got to feel like a fish out of water. He's been the guy on the field for years. And now he has to talk about it. Though, as a side note, it actually seemed to me like Erin Andrews was nervous, too. She fumbled a bunch during her initial pregame stand-up. Tom Rinaldi spoke to Tom Brady directly. Carissa Thompson, same thing. The entire Fox team has to think about it, pinch themselves. This is the guy we've been talking about for 25 years on the field, and now he's part of our broadcast team. So it's an adjustment for all of them. To expect that Tom Brady would sit down and be perfect and seamless, and it would be this completely comfortable style on his first day is ridiculous. If there were tapes of me the first time I did a talk show, I don't know that I would be able to continue on. I'm so glad there are no digital recordings of my first radio shows. I'd be mortified if anyone heard those. I'm a completely different broadcaster 25 years later, and Tom Brady will be 25 games in. It just takes practice. It takes reps. It's no different than the path to becoming the greatest quarterback of all time. He didn't start that way. He was a sixth-round draft pick. He didn't even start at Michigan when he was there initially. He had to wait and work his way up. It's going to be no different. But the thing you know about Brady is he is a tireless worker and he's a perfectionist. He's going to prepare for broadcasting because he's got pride in the job the same way that he prepared for football. And again, I thought it was smart. I thought it was a little rigid. He was definitely nervous. But as the game wore on, he provided more insight and he seemed to loosen up a little bit. Pete, what do you think?
Well, I think he just needs some time. He needs reps. Just with any broadcaster that's just starting, you're not gonna come right out of the gate and be dominant. But he wants to be there. He wants to put in the work. He has a great partner, and he's gonna do a good job. But right now, he's growing. You get a lot of the robotic sounding delivery.
Well, it's safe, right? So he doesn't make a mistake. He's just kind of feeling it out.
Yeah.
But it is interesting though, because you almost never in his entire career saw any type of nerves from Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Essentially, he would have nerves of steel. He was comfortable on the football field. And, he didn't say a whole lot in press conferences, so he wasn't really nervous in interviews because he was big man on campus. Everybody wanted to talk to him. He was nervous yesterday. You could see it on his face. You could hear it in his words. He was really nervous.
Yeah, first time I've ever seen him nervous. Mm-hmm. The first time ever. Even when he was a player and he was a quarterback, he could be in those press conferences and deflect as much as he mm-hmm. wanted to. Now you can't. Now you got to talk. So he'll get there. To jump all over him, for people to jump all over him, is not. I wouldn't jump all over him. It's the first time.
I mean, it's tone deaf.
Yes.
It's like completely missing the fact that he's changing careers and he's starting in a broadcast booth in the highest profile position that Fox has. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Because any one of those people criticizing couldn't even do half the job that Brady did yesterday. He'll get more comfortable. And my advice to him is what I tell all professional athletes who ask me, or former pro athletes who ask me, you have something that 99.9% of us don't, which is experience in the arena. So what he needs to do is share the wisdom and the insight, the stories, the experience, the vision, what he sees, because the majority of us, we can't possibly process football the way that he does. So you do that and give us insight to what's happening on the field as it's happening, and you'll be golden. I mean, that's what made Tony Romo so popular when he first got on the set with CBS, is that he was telling people in layman's terms exactly what quarterbacks are seeing at the line, which is why I thought the insight from Brady when he said, I can hear the Browns offensive line start to yell, spinner, 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 because Micah Parsons is standing up, and they know what that means is he's going to try one of his classic spin moves. And so that's the type of stuff that those of us sitting at home, we don't know to listen for.
Exactly. Right. That's one thing when I was teaching college students how to do broadcasting, and they would do football games, and we would have an analyst that may have played high school football. We would tell them, look, go put your high school football helmet on and break yep. it down. That we want that angle. That's why you're sitting here. You know, obviously, other than learning, but that's how that we want that viewpoint. And that's what we want from Brady and from all these other analysts.
Agreed. Now, his former team, well, he's got two of them, but his former team, the Buccaneers, his last Super Bowl ring, they're doing okay since he left. They haven't yet coughed up the NFC South title, and Baker Mayfield gets a contract extension. He was on the field against Jaden Daniels, well, not on the field at the same time, but the Commandos and the Buccaneers in Tampa. We'll get to that coming up, because they actually asked Tom in the broadcast when they showed a highlight of Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin asked him about his former team. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. We kick off with Sunday Night Football in Detroit. The Lions and Rams were tied at 20 in overtime.
Goff takes the snap, turns, gives to Montgomery, right side, yes. end zone, touchdown, yes. Detroit Lions! Yes. This game is yes. over! Pack it up, boys, we're going home! An opening night victory for the Lions! They come from behind in the final minute and tie it. They take the ball in overtime and march 70 yards down the field and win it.
Dan Miller on Lions Radio. Lions beat the Rams in overtime 26-20. Elsewhere, Bucks over the Commanders 37-20. Cowboys beat the Browns 33-17. Dak Prescott threw for 179 yards and a touchdown before the game. The Cowboys and Prescott agreeing on a four-year, $240 million extension, making him the highest-paid player in NFL history, locks him up through the 2028 season. Other games, Seahawks over the Broncos, 26-20, Dolphins 20, Jaguars 17, the Saints over the Panthers, 47-10, Vikings 28, Giants 6, Chargers beat the Raiders, 22-10, Texans 29, Colts 27, Patriots over the Bengals, 16-10, Bears 24, Titans 17, Bills top the Cardinals, 34-28, the Steelers over the Falcons, 18-10. Baseball, Diamondbacks over the Astros, 12-6. Giants 7, Padres 6. The Dodgers beat the Guardians 4-0. In 11, Braves 4, Blue Jays 3. Reds over the Mets, 3-1. White Sox 7, Red Sox 2. Mariners beat the Cardinals, 10-4. Tigers pound the A's, 9-1. Rays blank the Orioles, 2-0. The Cubs get by the Yankees, 2-1. Rangers 7, Angels 4. The Rockies beat the Brewers, 4-1. Royals 2, Twins 0. The Marlins over the Phillies, 10-1. The Pirates beat the Nationals, 7-3. Tennis, the U.S. Open men's final. Top seed Jannik Sinner, straight sets over number 12, Taylor Fritz, 6-3, 6-4, 7-5. For Sinner, his second career Grand Slam title. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Pico DeGoyo.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
With a touchdown, leading 6-0. White shifts into the backfield, dropping. Baker throws a sideline route. It is caught ball, Mike Evans with a guy draped all over him. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons, get him going. What a remarkable catch by Evans with a defender all over him. The ball is spotted at the 4-yard line. We convert by a pass interference penalty with a face mask added to it from the 4-yard line. Shotgun look, Rashad White on the right hip. Dropping to throw, maybe he'll throw toward the end zone. Caught ball, touchdown Godwin, touchdown Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons again.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Gene Deckerhoff, longtime play-by-play announcer of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as well as the Florida State Seminoles. Thankfully for Gene and all who care, the Bucs are off to a better start than are the Noles. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Online at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. We're getting set to post our Monday MVP poll. First one of the NFL season, and I guarantee that Baker Mayfield will be part of it because he's the only quarterback with four touchdown passes so far in week number one. I suppose there's still time. Mike Evans, he ends up catching a pair of them. But Baker goes 24 of 30, 289 yards, and the four scores. And really, he and the Bucs offense, they destroyed that Washington defense. It's a big rebuild in Washington under Dan Campbell. Then Cliff Kingsbury is the new OC, along with Jaden Daniels as the new rookie quarterback who gets the start in week one. But on the other side of the ball, remember they traded away some veteran defensive pieces last year, and they really are starting over. So that defense gives up nearly 400 yards of offense to the Buccaneers, who also go 9 of 13 on third down. I'm going to assume it's not going to be as easy or as readily available, that offense, against Detroit in week number two. Jaden Daniels now, he makes his debut. He goes 17 of 24, 184 yards passing, and in the second half is able to get a highlight reel moment.
So first and goal at the one. Quick handoff. No. Jaden Daniels keeps it. And for the first time in his career, touchdown! Touchdown, Washington!
I'm going to do whatever it takes to try to win the football game. I don't put a number or anything on how many times I'm going to run and stuff like that. But, you know, I just try to do whatever it takes to help the team win the game.
Jaden Daniels, the rookie quarterback, shows flashes of those instincts and that vision, the ability to adjust on the fly, of course, the ability to use his legs. That's something that we knew about him from school. Those two touchdowns coming in the second half, I don't want to say the game was out of reach and that they didn't matter, but a little bit less pressure when you're already down so much and the play calling, it's not quite as paramount. But I like that Cliff Kingsbury, who of course worked with a running quarterback in Kyler Murray as well, plus his time in college, that he's got a game plan that can highlight the skills of Jaden Daniels. One thing that Daniels will have to work on, in addition to the two rushing touchdowns, what happens when, as a quarterback, you carry the ball yourself? Well, you've got defenders who are reaching in to punch that puppy away, or you've got guys who are clutching and grabbing at the ball or grabbing at your arm. The more risks you take by rushing the football as a quarterback, the more risk for fumbles. And he did have three fumbles in this game. So as he and his offensive line get to know each other, as he runs more, ball protection is paramount. That means throwing the ball away. It means protecting it when you're not, when you don't have anything downfield and when you're not able to find anything. Eat the ball, eat the play, be willing to live for the next snap. But it is something that rookie quarterbacks have to learn. Although, gosh, there were times that veteran quarterbacks, like Josh Allen, for instance, held the ball way too long on his fumble in the first quarter against the Cardinals, which we'll get to coming up. So Jaden Daniels makes his debut with a pair of rushing touchdowns. No doubt those were sweet, even coming in the loss. As for the Buccaneers, they take care of business. And yeah, Baker Mayfield with a really smart debut, without any turnovers, without any huge mistakes. And this is exactly what Todd Bowles wants from him.
Really didn't have to do too much. I thought Liam called a great game. You know, there were a few protection adjustments just based on what they were doing. A few times when we were checking a play, they'd flip the pressure and things like that. But, yeah, didn't really have to reach into the toolbox too much today. Yeah, Liam called a great game.
He was good with his throws. He was good with his reads, with his checks. Everything was on point. He was excited. He ran when he had to, made some plays with his feet. He played a good overall game.
So the Buccaneers' new offensive coordinator is Liam Cohen, and that's who Baker referenced, Liam Cohen. And yes, week number two, an early matchup that will grab some headlines, the Bucs and the Lions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and we're going to get to more in that NFC East. The Cowboys end up with a win, and so they take care of business after Dak gets his contract. really don't have a ton of trouble with the Browns in Cleveland. A good win for them. We know the Eagles won on Friday night in Detroit. And so right now you've got those two teams that are 1-0. The big storyline, did I say Detroit? Sorry, I meant Brazil. I was thinking about Detroit and Bucks playing them next week. My faux pas. So Cowboys 1-0, Eagles 1-0 after winning in Brazil, São Paulo. And the big storyline coming out of Brazil, the field conditions, of course, that's not why Jordan Love got hurt. Thankfully, it's not a torn ACL. It wasn't a real serious knee injury. We find out this weekend it's an MCL sprain, which means the Packers QB could be out 3 to 6 weeks. So they're thinking closer to the early end of that. So that's great news. Halfway through, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.